This message, titled Listening to the Word of God from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, I think it's almost been 9.5 years since I first visited this congregation before becoming the pastor. And though it's been 9.5 years, I distinctly remember the very first time I came into this room, walking through the doors that are right over here. And I remember that as I stepped foot in this room, there were many things instantaneously that caught my attention. The woodwork of our church building is something that immediately caught my attention. The woodwork around the windows and the pews and even the flooring. The vaulted ceiling was something that immediately caught my attention as I walked into this room, seeing its massive arch as it rises above our heads. Of course, walking into this room, the stained glass windows also were a prominent spectacle, catching the eye immediately and seeing the names of all of our former pastors as they are written there. There were many things in walking into this room 9.5 years ago that caught my attention. But the thing that caught my attention most the very first time I stepped in here was not the stained glass windows, was not the vaulted ceilings, was not the name on the windows, but the thing that commanded my attention the most in walking into this room was this pulpit. A pulpit that is beautifully crafted, intricately designed. It's an incredible pulpit. And yet, even more than just the craftsmanship and the aesthetics, the thing that caught my attention is that this pulpit very prominently stands, as they often do in many churches, in the front and in the center. And of course, placing the pulpit here is not just an aesthetic decision. But there is a reason why in our church and in many churches, the pulpit is the thing, furniture-wise, you might say, that is front and center in a congregation. And that is because, brothers and sisters, even the placement of this pulpit is a testimony to what this church values. And what does this church value? This church, like so many other Christian churches, values the Word of God. And by placing the pulpit at the front and at the center, it stands to be a testimony that what we value as the people of God, that the Word of God be front and center of our worship and of our fellowship together. And I begin that way this morning because in many ways, as we continue through this letter that James is writing, this is what James is trying to convey to us. That what the Word of God is for our worship being central, so too it needs to be in our lives. Our lives need to be oriented around the Word of God. James knows that. As he writes to these people and through the preservation of the Spirit, as this Word comes to you and to me today in our own context, we've seen the way in which James deals with the reality of the trials of faith, that we are going to face every step from here to glory. We are going to face things that try our faith and test our faith. And not only the trials of faith, but James has dealt with the reality of daily temptations to sin. James understands, and what we need to understand, is that if we will live the Christian life in the midst of trials and temptations, then what we desperately need, brothers and sisters, we need to have the Word of God front and center. And that's really where James is going in these words. Maybe you remember the last time we were together opening these words. We looked in particular at the 18th verse. Where James tells us that God has brought us forth. And if you remember, that word that he uses in the 18th verse, brought us forth, is an emphatic word. It's a maternal word. It is a word that literally means to give birth to. And James is saying in the 18th verse, this is what God has done. He has given birth to us. And how has God done this? As we saw last time, God does this in verse 18 by his will, by his own will, but also by the word of truth. James says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And of course, that shouldn't surprise us. By way of reminder, we know, don't we, that this is the way in which God originally created the heavens and the earth. What do we read in the history of Genesis? We read, God said. He spoke into existence things that had no existence. God created by the power of his word. And James's point, as we looked at in some detail, is that as God created by the power of his word, so God recreates us. He remakes us. He causes us, in the language of the New Testament, to be born again. And God chooses to use his word as the means through which we are born again and recreated and remade. But James doesn't just simply leave off at verse 18. Saying, well, that's it. That's all that the word does, one and done. God brings us forth by his word, and then as we are recreated, then we can leave off the word. But rather, James wants us to know in the verses that follow that God not only in a definitive moment causes us to be born again by the word, but James wants us to know that God continues to use his word in our lives. That it is the word of God that God uses to sustain us. It is through the word that God grows us. It is through the word that God uses to form in us new habits and new attitudes and new desires and new affections. It is through the word of God, that same word that originally brought us forth, that God continues to mature us and form us into the image of Jesus Christ. Simply put, brothers and sisters, it is the word of God that God uses that we might be and become who we are intended to be in Jesus Christ. And if that's true, and it is, then there is a very important point here for all of us. And the important point is this. If it's God's word that God uses to do this, then the importance is simply this, brothers and sisters. Our relationship to the word of God is of ultimate importance. Our relationship, my relationship, your relationship to the word of God is of the utmost importance. And though we often think that this is something that should come easily, a habit of a word-centered life should be something in one sense that is easy in the Christian life, it's not. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging in the midst of all of our busy schedules, all the demands that are placed upon our lives. It is hard to be a people who are centered in our lives on the word of God. And Pastor James, as we have been calling him, Pastor James knows this. He knows that it's challenging to form this kind of life. And so what James does in the verses that we've read this morning is James really pastorally helps us learn how it is that we in our lives can cultivate a word-centered life. And the overview, and we'll be getting into the details this week and in weeks to come, but the overview is this. If we want to have a word-centered life, here's what James tells us. This is what is needed. In verses 19 through 20, we need to learn how to listen to the word of God. We need to learn how to listen. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And if we want to go beyond that, James is saying, not only do we need to learn how to listen to the word of God, we also need to receive the word of God. This is what he says in verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And not only do we need to learn to receive the word of God, James goes on to say you also have to learn to be doers of the word. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then for this word-centered life that James is seeking to disciple us in, not only do we need to listen, not only do we need to receive, not only do we need to do, but we need to learn how to meticulously apply the word of God to our lives, which is James's point in verses 26 and 27. And this morning, as God is willing, I want to focus on the first of these as it appears in verses 19 and 20. And that is, you need to learn how to listen and to listen well to the word of God. And so this morning, in order to understand this more, I'm bypassing the outline that's printed in the bulletin. But in order to understand how to listen to the word, I simply want to ask three questions of verses 19 and 20. The first question is what? What is James really getting at here? The second question is why? Why is what James is saying here? Why is this very important for us? And then the final question I want to ask this morning is how? How then do we do what James is saying? What, why, and how? And so the first question that I want to ask in looking at verses 19 and 20 together, the first question I want to ask is what? Notice again, James writes in verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now what does James mean? I remember a few years ago I was editing a book for somebody. Not a practice I try to do very often. I don't particularly like it. But somebody passed a manuscript on to me and said, would you be willing to read this and just edit it for its content? And it was a book that was kind of extensive. It was just on the Christian life. What are the habits that we need to cultivate as Christians? And it was written by a pastor, and there was a whole chapter in the book that was dedicated to Christian conversations. How should we as Christians dialogue with other people? And this chapter that he wrote in this book was actually based on the words that James writes here. As James says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. And the whole chapter was how to take those words and apply them to the conversations that we have with one another. And in doing this, this pastor who wrote this book was not in one sense doing something novel. The words that James writes here are words that are often used in that setting, in that context of our conversations with one another. That's the way that many people come to these words. In fact, you might even understand this morning that verse 19, it's one of the most well-known verses from the letter of James. Even if people don't know the exact reference or that it comes from James, many of us have heard in different situations and in different scenarios, here's how you need to dialogue with people. You need to be quick to listen and you need to be slow to speak. And there is, in one sense, brothers and sisters, there is biblical truth in that for our conversations. Scripture emphasizes for us, God's wisdom emphasizes for us how we should dialogue and talk with other people. You can think especially of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. Often Solomon tells us how we ought to have dialogue. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Solomon says, a wise man listens to advice. Of course, his point is it is a foolish man who never takes advice, never listens, never asks. Never looks for true counsel, even if that counsel goes against our innate desires. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says, whoever restrains words has knowledge. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2 says, a fool has no pleasure in understanding. but only in expressing his opinion. Maybe a proverb that should stand at the head and the heart of most of social media use in today's culture. An opinion stated, foolish people desire nothing but to rattle off their own opinions about all things. My point in this is that Scripture does, God does direct how we are to have conversations, how we are to listen, and how and when we are to speak. But here's an important question as we come to James. Is that what James is writing about? Is James' point here in the 19th verse, as some people, even many people have taken it, is it all about our conversations? Well, the answer to that question, and one of the things that I had to tell this pastor as I edited the book, is that while there might be a grain of truth in it, that is not James's concern. Verse 19 and verse 20 of this letter, this first chapter, is not intended to instruct us on how to have a good conversation. Rather, brothers and sisters, if we're going to understand this and appreciate what James is saying, we need to know this. James is not here writing about our conversations. He is writing about our relationship to the Word of God. That we need to have a relationship that listens well to the Word of God, to the Word of truth. How do we get there? How do we know that that's James's concern? Well, again, if you back up one verse to verse 18, what we see there, right? Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James is emphasizing, as has been preached previously, that God recreates us by his word. In verse 21, James says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness what? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of what? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. My point in this is the whole context is word-centered. The whole context of what James is writing here has to do with the way that you and the way that I relate to the Word of God. It is not about conversations. It is about learning to listen and to listen well to God's Word. And that's important. Maybe you remember that Jesus in his earthly ministry, Jesus emphasized this often with his disciples. As he told the parables. And he talks of the parables. What were the parables? He said, this is the seed of the kingdom. And maybe you remember that one parable that Jesus speaks of the seed of the sower. The word of God is thrown and it falls on different kinds of hearers, different ways of listening. And Jesus interprets that parable. And statistically, Jesus is saying only 1 out of 4 people actually hear the word correctly. Of course, we know that statistically, the statistics are far worse than that. Very few people know how to hear and to listen to the Word of God in the way it's intended to be listened and heard. And so Jesus warns his disciples in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, take care how you hear. Take care. You have to be concerned about this. You have to be concerned with the way in which you listen to the Word of God. So what is James writing of here? James is writing here, it's the whole point of my message this morning, James is writing about our relationship to the Word of God, that we need to learn how to listen and to listen well. Well, the second question that I want to ask then this morning, not only what is James writing here, but why? What I mean by that is, why is what James writing here, why is it important? Practically, why is it important? You'll notice the way that James actually writes this, beginning right away in verse 19. Know this, My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James emphasizes there in the 19th verse, know this. Other translations rightly translated as take note. Take note, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The real force of the expression that James uses there, maybe a more literal translation, James is saying, remember this. Remember this, my beloved brothers. Or maybe to put a little bit of a different emphasis on it, the word is also a word that means appreciate. He is saying, my beloved brothers, you have to know this. You have to remember this. You have to appreciate this. This is something that has to consciously enter into your thoughts. This is something that consciously has to enter into your mind. You need to struggle and strive to remember and appreciate. James is saying what I am about to say. And he is saying, appreciate this, my brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James is saying we have to appreciate how important it is to listen rightly to the word of God. Now, why is that something we need to appreciate? Why does James beg us to know this and to remember it? Well, it is because, brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous and significant emphasis in the Bible on listening to God's word. And by that, I mean very plainly this morning, in the Bible, there is a significant emphasis on learning how to use our ears as they've been intended to be used to listen and hear the word of God. We might even say in some ways this morning, there is more of an emphasis on hearing the word of God than there is on reading the word of God. There's more of an emphasis in the Christian life on using our ears than there is on using our eyes. We could think of Jesus' ministry. If you remember that famous sermon he preached, often called the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus concludes that whole sermon where he has spoken, right? He has spoken the word of God. And Jesus concludes that whole sermon with three images there at the very end, and one of them known to many of us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "The man who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. But the one who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand." And maybe some of you grew up in the church learning that little children's song of the wise man who built his house on the rock and the rains came down and the floods came up. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 7? As the rains come down and the floods come up, the house that is built on the rock stands. And we have to appreciate what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you hear my word and you do it, that's a mark of true wisdom. We could think of the emphasis that the Apostle Paul puts on this in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul gives that golden statement that often underlies the church's evangelistic ministry, where Paul in Romans 10 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's a golden statement, it's a glorious truth that calling upon the name of the Lord, resting on him, relying on him, going in the faith that he gives, that is how salvation is accomplished. And yet, what does Paul say in Romans chapter 10? If you're familiar with the verses that follow, it's interesting the way that Paul flows. He says, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says, oh, but how are they going to call upon the one if they don't believe? And then Paul, as he often does in the letter of Romans, continues to ask a series of questions. How are they going to call on the one that they don't believe? How are they going to believe if they don't hear? How are they going to hear unless someone preaches? And how is someone going to preach unless they are sent? And then Paul, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, brings his thought to a conclusion. And do you remember what he says? He says, "So faith comes through hearing." Faith comes through hearing, and hearing, he says, through the word of Christ. We could also think of Galatians chapter 3. If you remember anything about the church in Galatia, it was a church that Paul says had fallen under a spell. He says, somebody has come in and they've bewitched you. You're under a spell. And Paul comes and he writes with a vengeance in that short letter. But what does Paul say in Galatians chapter 3 as he tries so hard in the things that he writes to break the spell that the Galatians are under, this false gospel? Paul asks in Galatians 3, he says, "Tell me, you Galatians, you foolish Galatians." He says, "Did you receive the Spirit of God through the works of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit through hearing with faith?" We could think of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Peter says, "You have been born again." How? Not by perishable seed, but by imperishable seed. The imperishable seed, he says, which is the word of God, which he then goes on to say, which is the word that we preached to you. The very word that we spoke and the word that you heard, that's what brought you into the new life that Jesus Christ offers. You see, my point in this, brothers and sisters, is that the scriptures emphasize in a very, very significant way that resounding theme, let him who has ears hear. There is an emphasis in the scriptures on what we put into our ears and the need to hear the word of God. And James is saying, you've got to know this. You've got to remember this. You've got to appreciate this, the role and the place of listening to the word of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is so important for you and for me today. It remains something that we need to know and appreciate, the way in which God works through hearing his word. Why is that important? It was important for all kinds of reasons. It might be easy for some of us to think, well, of course that's true in James's day. They could only listen to the word because most of them were illiterate. They couldn't read. They weren't an educated society like we're educated today. And so all that they had was the ear to listen to the word of God. But we're advanced beyond that because we live in a literate society. It might, brothers and sisters, be easy to think in our hyper-psychologized world. Make so much of personality tests. Well, you know, I'm not really an auditory learner. I'm a visual learner. I'm one who learns by doing. And so it might be fine and good for some people to listen to the word of God, to hear it. I have no need for that because that's not my learning style. That's not how I connect. It might be easy to think that the modern man needs a modern way of having God's truth made known to him. That a society gripped by the idolatry of entertainment should move away from hearing and listening to the word of God to entertainment-driven ministry. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, there's all kinds of ways that we can reduce or minimize the emphasis of what the scriptures say and what James is saying here. But the way in which James puts this in the 19th verse, know this, he says, my beloved brothers, let every person. James is saying this is true inclusively of all people. We all need to hear the word. We all need to be listeners. We all need to learn to use our ears in hearing the word of God. James doesn't say, well, you know, my beloved brothers, let some of you remember this. Those of you who are auditory learners and not visual learners. James doesn't say, well, for you first century Christians, this is really what you need, but the day is going to come when this is put behind us. James says, let every person, inclusive of all people, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter when you are, it doesn't matter what natural abilities and talents and learning styles you have, it doesn't matter. James is saying, here, brothers and sisters, is the way God works. Here is the work, the action that God has promised by his faithfulness and blessing to bless his people with. It is hearing and listening rightly to the word of God. That's what James is saying, and that's why, brothers and sisters, this is so important. Friends, let me just be blunt this morning. There is nothing, biblically speaking, that compares to hearing the word of God. There is nothing that replaces hearing the word of God. There is nothing that is a fit substitute to hearing the word of God. There is nothing that supersedes the importance of this in our lives. What Scripture is saying, what James is saying, what we need to understand and appreciate is what we put into our ears is one of the most formative forces in our lives. And if we will become the people that Jesus intends us to be, if we will become those who know what it is to endure under trial, who know what it is to resist temptation, we have to learn to listen to the word of God, especially as it's preached. What we do here every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening is not tradition. It's not even because we think this is the best way to communicate with people or the best way to teach people. It's because it's the way that God has promised to bless us, to hear his word, to listen to it, to cultivate a life that takes that seriously. So why is this important? James says we need to know this. We need to appreciate this. This is central for our spiritual lives, to be those who know how to listen. Finally, briefly this morning, the third question, not only what, why, but the third question this morning is then how. So how are we to listen to the word of God? Of course, that's not a surprising question to ask. Many of you have worked with kids, whether you're parents, teachers, coaches. You know that one of the most important skills, one of the most important life disciplines we can teach kids is how to listen. And if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, you know that oftentimes there is one way for kids to listen that really isn't actually listening. I remember that happened to me all the time when I was in grade school. I loved to talk in class, and I would talk. And my teacher would always say to me, she'd single me out, and she said, "Kyle, are you listening to me?" And I could parrot back everything that she had said, and I'd say, "Well, yeah, I'm listening to you. Here's what you just said, A, B, and C." And she'd say, "Well, okay, thanks, but you're not listening the way that you need to. You need to listen while being quiet, by not talking." We know that there are ways to listen that aren't actually listening. And James understands that too. And so James gives to us what you might call a particular pattern here. And it almost comes with a little bit of a cadence. You know, maybe some of you, I'm not much of a dancer, but I remember having to dance in gym class, and one of the only dances that I remember, and often one of the dances that people only remember, is that one that is quick, quick, slow, right? That's supposed to be the rhythm. That's the cadence. And James gives to us here a certain cadence, a certain rhythm, a certain pattern. It's not quick, quick, slow. But you notice in verse 19, it's quick, slow, slow. It says, let every person be quick to hear. slow to speak, slow to anger. And James is saying there's the pattern for how you are to listen to the word. First, you are to be quick to hear. You are to be quick. What does that mean? Very simply this morning, the words that James uses there means that your hearing of the word of God, it needs, brothers and sisters, it needs to be marked by a readiness and a willingness. To be ready and to be willing to hear God's word. To be ready to hear it. Whatever God's word says, I'm ready to hear it. Whether I like it or dislike it, whether it's easy or whether it's hard, whether it is wounding or healing, whether it afflicts me or whether it comforts me, James is saying we need, when we come to hear and to listen to the word of God, we need to be ready to hear it. We need to be ready. But it also conveys that idea of being willing. You can be ready for something, you can be prepared for something without simultaneously being willing to do something. And that's not James's idea. Well, just be ready, but you better go to the hearing of God's word with stubbornness, or with reluctance, or with hesitancy. And maybe that touches close to some of us this morning in how we woke up and prepared to come to hear the word of God today. Did you come with reluctance? Did you come with hesitancy? Did you come rolling your eyes thinking, oh, good grief, I just got to get this done? James is saying that's not what it means to listen to the word of God. To listen means you're quick to hear. You're ready and you're also willing. Willing because, brothers and sisters, this is the means that God uses to make us like Jesus. James says here, you need to be quick to hear. How else do we do it? James says we need to be slow to speak. As quick as we need to be to hear, we need to be slow to speak. The idea here is somewhat taken from conversations, isn't it? We all know manners and habits and rules of politeness. You don't interrupt people. You listen to them. You don't just shoot your mouth off. And in many ways, James, and in a very practical way, is saying, well, when we come to listen to the word of God, there's a way to interrupt God. There's a way to just run your mouth. And James is saying, you got to be slow. Don't do that. Don't do that. And how do people do that? Well, people do that. We do that, brothers and sisters, in all kinds of ways. Where we're so quick to foist our own opinions on God's word. Well, here's what God's word means to me. Here's what I think God is saying. Having never learned what it is to be quick to hear and slow to speak. We can be quick to speak when it comes to God's word by rattling off our own opinions and interpretations. We can be quick to speak by declaring without much thought given to it, well, this is absolutely what this verse means. Friends, it is a dangerous thing to say, thus saith the Lord, if what you're saying is not what God says. And how many people have, in the name of God, spoken things that, in an approving way that God disapproves of, or spoken in a disapproving way of things that God approves of? And James is saying, no, you need to slow down. You need to be careful. You need to be slow to speak. It's why later in this letter, we will see in James chapter 3, verse 1, James says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because those who teach will be judged. And I say this as a teacher of the word. They will be judged with greater severity. We can be quick to speak when we, in our moments, feel like all we need to do is talk back to God. Job got dangerously close to that line, if not transgressing that line. To talk back to God and say, well, God, you've spoken, but now let me give you a piece of my mind. And James says, no, there is this thing we call a blessed silence when it comes to hearing God's word. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. And finally, very briefly, he adds here, doesn't he? Slow to anger. Now that's an interesting one. Quick to hear and slow to speak makes sense. There's a logical connection there. Why does James add immediately here, slow to anger? Well, because, brothers and sisters, the biblical testimony confirms, as does our experience, that it is so easy to get angry with the word of God. Remember, this is what happened with Jesus. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, went around. What did he do? He preached the kingdom. And what happened? People got angry. In Luke chapter 6, verse 11, we are told the Pharisees were filled with fury at the things that Jesus spoke. Maybe you remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, who's the first martyr of the New Testament church, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, speaks and preaches to this group of men. He walks through the Old Testament. He convicts them of sin. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, we are told all those who heard were enraged, and they ground their teeth at Stephen. The word of God makes people angry. It just does. Because the word of God does not just flatter us or seek to pat us on the back or to affirm us in everything that we think and in everything that we believe and everything that we want to do. The word of God, brothers and sisters, it strikes the ego of the human heart, and because it does that, it enrages us. The message of Scripture, the message that we hear again and again, is a message that tells us sin is real. Judgment is real. The wrath of God is real. Hell is real. You have no hope in this life or the one to come without Jesus Christ. And the word comes and it lays upon us as believers the demands of Jesus. And the point is, it is easy to get angry when we hear the word of God. And James says, you know what? You need to be quick to hear. You need to be slow to speak. And you need to be so slow at getting angry with God's word. Because he goes on to say in verse 20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And God, through his word and through the ministry of the gospel, is seeking to do what? To produce righteousness in our lives. Right? That was James's point at the end of verse 18. We are brought forth by the word of truth that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, set apart and consecrated to him. And James is saying, if you just get angry at what the word of God says, it's never going to accomplish that end. And so you need to be slow to be angry. You need to be slow to be angry. You know, in colloquial terms, James is really telling us that as we come to listen to the word, here's the rules. How do you do it? Be all ears, shut your mouth, and don't boil over. But listen to what God says in his word. If we want a word-centered life, kind of life that James is seeking to help produce and cultivate in all of our lives, it begins here, with listening to the word of God. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let's pray.